We are doing Mishnayot Beitza. We're up to the third chapter of the second Mishnah. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to an amazing young man who used to sit on these benches just a year ago. We were learning together in this same place, Mishnayot. His name is Meir Segedi. Hashem should bless him. We miss him here. He should know that even though I haven't spoken to him and he's been calling me, I'm still thinking of him. I just don't get home in time to call him. So our Mishnah is continuing where the last Mishnah left off, the laws of Tzedah, the laws of hunting. We discussed in the previous Mishnah that food has to be prepared before Yom Tov and before Shabbos. It has to be in our possession, it has to be within our reach, within our grasp. And this Mishnah picks up at the point that Dani raised last night. What happens with animal tracks? If you come and you find a bird in your cage on Yom Tov, bird flew into your, you prepared a bird trap, flew in. Now what? Can you eat that bird on Yom Tov? Is that fowl permissible? Or is it foul play? Says the Mishnah, Mitzudot, Chaya, Va'of, Vidagim. If you have traps that are there for the wild animals, the birds, the fish, Shasan Merav Yom Tov, that you prepared them on the eve of Yom Tov, and you come on Yom Tov and you find a bird or a fish or an animal caught in a trap. Loitol Men B'Yom Tov, you shouldn't take animals or whatever was caught in a trap from Yom Tov on Yom Tov Ela Enken Yodesh and Itzod Merav Yom Tov, unless you could validate that they caught before Yom Tov. If you could validate that this animal was in your possession before Yom Tov, fine. Rabbi Gamliel permits us, when in doubt, the question is Safek Mukhan. When you're uncertain whether this was in your possession, whether it was prepared for you before Yom Tov or not. You weren't there by the trap before Yom Tov. Now you find something was caught. You don't know, was it caught before Yom Tov or not? Was it in your possession, so to speak, when Yom Tov came in or not? Safek Mukhan. The first opinion in the Mishnah says it is prohibited. The second opinion not recorded in the Mishnah that we have on tradition is Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel holds that it is mutar. Now what's the logic behind it? Ordinarily, people pick things on the day they're going to eat, right? The second, if you have something prepared, so you pick it fresh, right? If you have a tomato patch right in front of your house, you're not going to pick the tomatoes 2 days in advance and let them rot. You pick them on the day that you're going to eat them. Imagine you're living in Chazal's time, or you're living and you have your own garden, so you pick the food approximately when you're going to, when you want to eat it, right? And therefore we say that the food has to be prepared the way you're going to eat it. We'll continue the Mishnah. Umaseh v'nochri echad shevi degim l'Rabban Gamliel. So a non-Jew once brought fish to Rabban Gamliel. V'amal mutarinen. Rabban Gamliel said, even though I don't know if these fish were caught before Yom Tov or not, but Rabban Gamliel, we just said, holds that Safek Mukhan is mutar. So Rabban Gamliel said, technically, he told his students, it is mutar. Ela she'en rotzoni lekabel himenu, but I don't want to accept it from him. This guy and I know him, and he's a wicked person. I don't want to accept gifts from a wicked person. So Rabban Gamliel knew the guy, and Rabban Gamliel was a top-notch politician, right? Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi. So he knew that the guy was just trying to sweet-talk him into something. So Rabban Gamliel said, I don't want the fish, thank you. And then he told the students, but don't think it's a su. I hold it's mutal. I just don't want to accept it from this guy. I'm not from this guy. I know he's got something up his sleeve. I want to have nothing to do with him.
Why record this?
why record this? I could tell you many reasons, but I'd be guessing. We could hypothesize, maybe this was a well-known story. The Mishnah didn't want people to err and think that Rabbi Gamliel held it was prohibited. So the Mishnah tells us, you should know, that when Rabbi Gamliel, in that famous story, when he refused the fish, he held it was mutter. Maybe. I'm saying, if we're going to hypothesize, we'd say many things.
In the story of the fish refusal? Oh, perhaps it was somebody of a...
What?
In caliber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Well, what's the issue? If you're receiving milk from a non-Jew, isn't it even more?
Okay, so the issue with a non-Jew in halacha we discussed, maybe he brought it from outside the tchum. Food that was beyond your capacity to attain on jobs in Yom Tov is also a soup. Yeah? Because it was beyond the tchum.
Okay.
Like you're subscribed to the New York Times, you know. Once upon a time there was this newspaper called the New York Times. Not online. It was people would get it delivered to their house. And they throw it at on your lawn. Now, this thing... newspaper, you guys know what that is, right? You're still of an age, you understand it. Our kids won't know what a newspaper is. And the New York Times is about to be history. So, if they throw that onto your lawn on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so technically it's printed somewhere else. And then they deliver it early in the morning to your location. And then they bring it to your doorstep. So that's something that's brought from outside the tchum. So that would be prohibited. That's beyond your capacity. You couldn't touch that. It was even printed on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But what?
It's beyond your capacity
to attain it. It's like, let's say that...
In your own means.
It's beyond your Tchum Shabbos. It was out of your Tchum. So a non-Jew brought it into your Tchum. That doesn't mean you're allowed to use it or touch it. It's Muktzah for us. Okay. What? Okay. Mishnah Gimel. Beima Misukenet. If you have an animal that seems endangered, it seems like it's on the verge of death. Lo yishchot. So the guy wants to shecht it while he'll still get to eat it. If it drops dead on him, the carcass is not kosher, right? Even though it's a kosher animal, it needs shechita. So he wants to shecht it. And it's late in the afternoon. It's almost Motzei Yom Tov. Now we know you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, provided you're going to eat that animal on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, Lo yishchot elayim ken yesh shahut b'yom lechol menu kezayit tzali. You may not slaughter it unless there's going to be enough time to eat a kezayis of the animal roasted, right? So you don't have to figure, well, I have enough time to take off its hides and clean it and everything else. But you do have to figure, what's the shortest way I'm going to eat it? Roast. Will I be able to, after it stops, after it's dead, will I be able to slice out a kezayis of meat, put it over a fire, roast it, and eat it? Will I have enough time for that? Then I could slaughter the animal on Yom Tov. If not, then I may not. I'm not allowed to do the melacha on Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva omer, apiru kezayit chay mibit tevichata. Rabbi Akiva says, you know, wait a second, you just cut open the animal's neck, right? Right there from the neck, where you cut open, you could slice out a kezayis, clean off the blood, and eat it, right? So, even though that's a pretty gory thing to do, halachically it's kosher. So who says you need enough time to roast the kezayis? You need enough time to cut out a kezayis from where you just slaughtered it, the cut in its neck, and if you could eat that, that's enough. Because why do we do melicha? Why do we salt meat? Technically, we should just wipe off the blood and eat the meat. The Torah says, when is blood prohibited? When blood is not in its natural place in the animal. Meaning, when you're going to cook meat, we say the blood in the meat is going to start moving around in the meat. Once the blood moves from its natural location, it is a sodoraita, biblically prohibited. So we have a tradition that if you salt the meat, whatever blood is going to move around the meat is going to come out when you salt it. Ah, you'll tell me, but there's still blood in the center of the meat. You take a cow, you take a bull that's the size of this table, slice off one of its flanks, pour salt over it. You go to the center of that meat, there's still blood inside. Your salt didn't get that blood to come out. So we say, yeah, that red stuff inside the meat, that's not blood. You'll tell me, what do you mean it's not blood? I'll tell you, it's not blood. It's called muhal. You'll say, what's the difference between muhal and blood? I'll tell you, this is the difference. The halacha says, what comes out with salt is called blood. What stays inside is called muhal. Biologically we don't see a difference. Right, we don't see a difference. That's the halacha. We don't think that all the blood came out. But we have a tradition that by salting it, whatever blood came out, that's the blood the Torah didn't want you to eat. Anything that's left inside is muhal.
So assuming that it's blood that doesn't move?
So even if it moves, it's not blood. Whatever blood was going to move came out by salting. The only thing that has so much blood that salting isn't enough is the liver. The liver is all blood. The liver must be sliced and roasted. So technically, the only reason we have to salt the meat is because we're going to cook it. If I'm going to roast meat, I don't have to salt that meat because the fire draws out the blood even better than salt. That's why we roast a liver. That's why the first opinion in the Mishnah says a kazayis that you could roast. You don't need to take the time to salt it. You roast it, that deals with the blood.
Halachically, we don't have to salt roasted meat.
Is a different issue. I mean, if you slaughter an animal and then you slice it up and roast it, technically, if you know how to do it, there's no problem. You wouldn't have to salt it.
If you know how to roast.
Correct.
Properly.
If you know how, there are a few details we're not going into, but technically, right. The only issue is that our meat sits, it waits. You have to either salt it or roast it within a short period after you slaughter it. So, we hold that freezing it is just as good. That's why when you buy liver, you could buy liver that's not kosher. 50 years ago, the Sephardi women all over Israel used to salt their own meat. They'd go to the butcher, buy fresh meat that was unsalted, and salt their own meat. Even today, you go to a makolet around here, they sell regular salt, and they sell salting salt. The salt that we use to salt meat is thicker salt. It's not the big chunks of salt. It's not tiny salt. It's a little bit bigger than our table salt. It's like bigger pieces, like gravel. That's the size of salting salt.
So you can. There's no problem with eating the blood of raw meat?
No. So you got to clean off the blood. But once you've washed it off, you could eat raw meat, correct.
Without
salting it, right. So that's what the Gemara says, Misha da tanya fe.
The problem is that the blood moves, you say.
The blood moves in cooking, we assume. You take a kazayis of meat, you clean off the blood that's outside, you eat it.
Right.
So the Gemara says, whoever is nefesh yefa, and nefesh yefa is lashon saginaho. It means whoever is a pig. That they worded it nicely. They said whoever has a nice soul. They didn't mean a nice soul. But halachically, technically, you could do that. So that's what Rabbi Kiva says. If you want to slaughter an animal 5 minutes before sunset, if you have enough time to slaughter it and then take a kazayas even from the cut, that's enough. Shchata basadeh, let's say you slaughtered an animal that was healthy or sick, doesn't matter, out in the field, and now you want to bring home the meat. Don't go around carrying the meat on a pole, uvamota, or that's a different type of meat, because it looks like you're doing business on Yom Tov. You want to slaughter an animal, you're going to eat some of it on Yom Tov, that's fine. You're going to walk around with this big carcass lying on a pole on Yom Tov, it looks like you're butchering on Yom Tov, you're doing business on Yom Tov, it's not nice, you're degrading Yom Tov. What's the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos? Shabbos, we're Hashem's guests. Yeah, Shabbos, Hashem is our guest. Hashem comes to our home. Yom Tov, we're Olei LaRegel. We're Hashem guests. That's why on Yom Tov, we have nicer clothing than on Shabbos. If the king comes to my house, what can I do? This is the house I live in. I make it as nice as I could. But when I go to the king's house, I better be all dressed up. So when we're Olei LaRegel on Yom Tov, we dress nicer. That's why you should have nicer clothing for Yom Tov than Shabbos. If you have Yom Tov that falls out on a Shabbos, we say add a dish in honor of Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov is a drop more than Shabbos. Yom Tov, you're visiting the king. Shabbos, the king is coming to your house.
Is this idea connected to the fact that Shabbat is Hashem has set it in time, whereas Yom Tov we set in time?
Maybe. I don't know.
The Beit Din decides where...
I know what you mean. I don't know if it's connected. I don't know. Aval mevi biyado evarim evarim. I don't always know what you mean. You've taught me other things. But this I happen to know. Aval mevi biyado evarim evarim. But if you want, you can bring the limbs in one at a time. Here you might think, well, you're going to work harder. You're going to walk back and forth and back and forth, bring in the different pieces of the animal. Maybe you shouldn't do that on Yom Tov. Just like we say on Shabbos, If you have two ways, two routes, take the shorter route. Don't walk too much. You can walk. You could walk over a puddle or walk around the puddle. Walk over the puddle. Even though it means you got to take a wide step, but to start walking all around the puddle, we say on Shabbos, take it easy. Take shortcuts. San Yomtiv, we'd say maybe you shouldn't be walking so much. If I tell you don't bring it all in at once, it means you have to walk back and forth from the field carrying the pieces. Tells us the Mishnah, nonetheless, better do that than degrade the Yomtiv by walking into town carrying a carcass on your shoulder on the pole. So what did we learn today? We learned that the traps have to be verified before Yomtiv. If you don't know whether the animal was caught before Yomtiv, you cannot eat it on Yomtiv. It's Muktzeh. We brought the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Nochri, that Rabbi Gamliel disagrees with Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Gamliel says, Safek Mukhan, when in doubt, it's still permitted. And that's why he stressed, even though technically I don't know if the Nochri caught these fish on Yomtiv or not, it's Mutar, but I don't want to accept gifts from him. And then in the third Mishnah, we learned that in order to slaughter an animal on Yomtiv, you have to validate that you can eat from it still on Yomtiv. Tanna Kamma says you could roast a kazayis. Rabbi Kiva says you could eat a kazayis raw. And then we said if you shecht out in the field, don't walk into town carrying it on poles, but rather bring it in limb by limb, even though that means you'll have to do more walking. But this is more honor for Yomtiv than walking around with a pole and a carcass on it.